Right, Emma, I hope you don't mind. I thought, seeing as you're a captive audience, and I will untie you later, I thought I'd audition for you before we do the NDAF thing. Is that right? Yeah, it took a bit of setting up, but I bloody love an audition. I do.
Yeah, but see, we've already cast.
So if you want to just start mixing the stones there and tar with that and rock. Okay.
Yo. Actually, I don't say yo. And it's Rook. Like the chess piece. Who wrote this?
Let's just get this bit here dug up, can we?
Yeah,
just plug in the pneumatic and we can crack on. How many voice actors does it take to make a road? All together now. Three! Yeah. Okay, shouldn't take us too long. That's an interesting topic, isn't it, for an intro drama, this? I mean, I know we wanted less horror and less sci-fi on the scene, but Roadmaker. I was going to say, where we're going, we need roads. That's a brilliant niche, that is brilliant.
Sarah, brilliant. I think you've got...
Okay. So how long does road need to be? I mean, you know, where is it going? Who is it for? Why is it here?
Would you please shut your
yapper? I hope I'm singing. I know you've got music and singing in your pod, so the drama.
Drama? Brooke, I think my ears are bleeding.
I don't usually say this, but I don't think you should sing anymore.
Yeah, okay, so we're making a road. Now, what accent shall I do? Am I the antagonist? What's my motivation? Do you see what I did there, motorway? Right, character. Rough Cockney, anyone?
Hey? Road? Hey? Accent?
Where is it going?
Yeah, road. Yeah, where do you want it to go, Gav? Law love a duck, innit? Oh, come on, mate. This is my audition for your road maker pod, innit? Right, I mean, I prepped and everything. Look, I even got a hat made.
Ah, nice hat.
Yeah, it looks great in audio, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, so I think you've got this just a little... But,
a little bit wrong.
You released Roadmaker Pod in May, didn't you? Aye, tarmac drama.
Rogue. R-O-G-U-E.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Rogue Maker. Have you actually listened to the podcast?
You know what I mean? This isn't based on your JCB experience, then?
No, it's based on our LARP experience, L-A-R-P.
LARP. What's that when it's at home? It's a US reworking of the alphabet song.
Live action role play. Rogue Maker. Rogue.
Oh, so it's not road.
No.
Nope.
Okay. So I don't need this hat.
Nope.
You could keep it on if you like.
Oh, keeps a man interested, doesn't it? Okay, let's we should go inside and talk about Rogue Maker then, shall we?
Bless.
Please.
Yeah. Hey, maybe afterwards. Afterwards we can make a road.
No.
No.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, it's me, Sarah Golding. Hello. I thought I had had some brand shiny new folks on the audio drama scene for the latest NDAF eps, but no. Here's some groovy, inspirational, and hugely creative folk who premiered their very, very first ever episode this May 2022. Woohoo! Yes, with my single-chambered larynx, let's welcome Emma and Rook from Rogue Maker Pod. Woohoo!
Hi.
Did I say it right?
You did this time.
I am so excited to speak to you, wondrous creatives. You're one of the newest kids on the book for release, but this has been preparation for a while, I gather, from your very heady days of LARPing about, having a wonderful time in live action role play. So can I ask, first of all, what inspired you to create this audio fiction from your LARPing fun times, and how long has it taken to adapt it?
Yeah. Wait, should we say who we are first?
That's really important. Okay, let's start again. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Welcome, Emma and Rook. Hello.
Hi.
Emma, Rook, you make the world's newest, I think, I'm just calling it it, because it was at one point, podcast ever, Rogue Maker Pod. And do you want to tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so hi, I am Emma Johanna Purinen. I am the creator of Rogue Maker. I wear a lot of hats for the production, as is very common among audio drama creators.
They're beautiful hats.
They are.
They're the best hats I've seen. I love the frilly ones.
It's fun to wear them all. I do the writing. I do the sound design. I also voice act. And I guess direct and I guess produce. And that's
wow.
me.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, well done for all of that and managing and balancing it as you do. And Rook, tell us your glorious roles of Audio Joy.
So my name is Rook Mogavero. I wear all the hats that Emma can't wear because there were only so many that she could fit on her head. So
indeed.
I did some script editing. I help with the audio editing. I co-direct, and
did you pour a good whiskey at the end of the night?
God, I wish.
look, I'm the one who lives in Scotland, not Rook. I know it's confusing because
right.
we're both American, but
yeah, I know you said one of you was in Scotland, and where were you based, Rook? In which part of the US?
I'm in New York. I'm on Long Island.
You lucky thing! What a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, it's Long Island.
I imagine you now frolicking through the parks of the beautiful NYC, singing. Happy songs.
Again, God, I wish. It's a torturous 45-minute train ride away.
But there's an audio drama in that, right? Train maker. No, Sarah, shut up.
Don't threaten me with a good time. But yeah, no, I help direct, I script edit, I also voice act. I've been told that I am a producer, but I'm not entirely sure what that means, so I'm not super comfortable giving myself that title.
I love that. And it does tend to morph depending show to show, doesn't it? I think there aren't any true definite things that producers do other than feel a bit sick before it's all released.
I do that, so...
Well, there you go,
ain't that
you're
the
true
truth.
Producer. I should have that on a T-shirt. Are you a producer? Do you feel a bit sick before you release? Anyway, when I asked my first proper question for you, what did inspire you folks to create this amazing audio fiction from your LARPing fun times? That was the true origins of it. And how long has that taken you to adapt it?
Yeah, so this had its origins when I had the idea for it to be a LARP in like November 2020. But I think to answer this question, we should first give like a brief overview of what a LARP is. So Rook, do you want to take that?
Key.
Yeah, so LARP or live...
Do you want to sing it?
LARP!
In song form?
In song form? Does it have to rhyme?
No.
Because I'm not great at improvised rhyming, but I can just do a tune. Just
I think we should just do a tune.
Live action role play! Mm-hmm. So it's playing pretend with extra steps, essentially is what it is. Emma and I went to, undergrad together and
cool.
we both fell in with a group that does a lot of this, live action role playing. You know, some people party on their Saturday nights at in college or uni or what have you. We pretended to be other people and, you know, wizards and things.
So great.
And it was a thing that we did a lot in person, obviously, when we were at school, and then a bunch of people graduated, and then the pandemic happened, and so it was very hard to, you know, or impossible in some cases, mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. get people together and get them all to, you know, pretend to be other people in one space. And so a lot of our community and our friend group moved to online LARPing. And so we have a lot of the same
yeah.
concepts of like you sign up for a thing and then someone has an idea
mm-hmm.
and they I'm sorry I'm like so I'm scattered about this.
Oh, please don't worry. It's awesome. Keep going.
But so someone has an idea for a world, a story they want to tell, and then they tell their friends, "Hey, I want to do this. Does anyone want to come do it on this date perhaps?" Mm-hmm. And then they fill out a little survey about what character they want to play. And then the LARP writer creates a bunch of character sheets that say, you know, the character's name and, you know, what type of person they are and maybe a bit of their backstory or what have you.
Yep.
And then, you know, everyone gets together on a date. They're all in costume. And then they, you know, cry on each other, usually. because there's always a lot of very high emotions. I mean, sometimes it's more funny and silly and goofy, but we tend to like a lot of high drama, character-driven,
yes,
important relationships, secrets, drama.
Oh, ain't that life, isn't it? That's soul blood there, right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after 2020, a lot of people wanted to do it online.
Mm-hmm.
Because
connection.
You wanted to have some way to continue to do this.
Yeah. Yep.
And, I personally actually wasn't a huge fan of doing it online. Like, just for me, it, like, I couldn't focus on it.
It's different.
And so when Emma said, oh, I want to do this, and can someone help me run it?
Yeah.
I was like, I'll help run it. I don't think I could handle being a character.
Okay.
But Emma, you can talk about actually Rogue Maker / Rogue, the podcast. Mm. The LARP that became a podcast.
Yeah, please do.
I can talk.
Little did you know that in some ways signing up for less commitment led you to sign up for all of this.
Emma's evil plan worked.
Yeah, so I wanted to try to make an online LARP that didn't feel like it was missing anything for being online. So it ended up being an audio-only LARP, because I had this image of these people stuck in escape pods. Like, the escape pods are dark, they can't see out them, so the ideal way to play it as a LARP was to have someone, like, laying down, sitting down somewhere with their eyes closed and their headphones in. And then we played it on Discord, so people were in various audio channels on Discord, and if you're the mod of the server, you can click and drag them from channel to channel, and that simulated their faulty comms, like, going in and out of contact with each other as they're drifting away from this exploded spaceship.
I love that.
It's also very much, though it isn't a pandemic audio drama, it was very much made because I was in that pandemic moment of autumn 2020. Yeah. I was thinking about the isolation, and the escape pods sort of grew out of that, and just the importance of, like, my friends had all sort of become these friendly voices in my ear because they weren't there physically, but how strong that can be in the moment. And also how in the pandemic we were bombarded with, like, as I was walking around on my pandemic walks and getting these, I was listening to, I have free Spotify, I would listen to Spotify, and I would get, like, a McDonald's ad, which was super jarring, and then I would get some ad from the government that was like, if you bend the rules, people will die. And I'm like, this is, it's a lot. Yeah. So that's sort of where the advertisement aspect of the game came from.
Awesome. Do you want to explain that? Because if folks haven't yet found you, and hopefully as a result of this now will, what do you mean by the advertising part? Can you explain a little further how you've popped in lots of groovy things into your show that isn't just straight LARPing into audio fiction, is it?
Yeah. Well, when it was a LARP, it was also a little bit an audio drama, because I made this 2-hour long audio file that every player had to download. It was mostly space background noise, but it would also have these ads that the escape pods were picking up as they were drifting through space. And those were clever little world-building tools, like a newscast or a bit of a documentary or a space McDonald's ad, because I had to. So that's a big part of the fabric of the show, is that sort of dissonance of the ads.
Love that. Very clever. And they're fun as well. Just when they pop up, it does bring a smile to the face, got to say.
Yeah. And then I think I ultimately turned it into an audio drama for the very simple reason of I wanted more people to experience the story beyond just the, like, couple dozen players we had in the game.
Fantastic idea. And I do hope that it's reaching and building audience with every single episode you release, because it is great fun. I have had a listen that while we're recording now, there's been 2 episodes out for general release, and great fun. And I have to say,
Thank you.
Few familiar voices of pals who I've worked with in the voice acting world as well, including the amazing Alistair Stewart, who's a gentle edge.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
It was great to work with. The whole cast was really fantastic to work with. But
yeah, I've got to say, you've got one of the cheerleaders of audio fiction in there too, Stephen Indrasano, who's been just wonderful for all the quirky voices things I've released, and been an absolute legend in helping to share my stuff. So yeah, it's great to hear him on the show too.
And Stephen's a powerhouse.
Yeah, definitely. definitely. And get married at some point soon.
Yeah.
Lucky fella. Well done.
And he got into grad school. We're all so proud of him.
Oh, this is it. It's all going on for Stephen. It's like, yeah, pinnacle of everything glorious. No, onwards and upwards and more for you, Stephen. But yeah, I think the key thing is like audio fiction. What differences have you had to make to your script then? Because you say it's pretty much sort of got its tendrils in audio fiction with how you've given the subject matter to your actors and so on. But yeah, how did you adapt it so that it would really work in audio fiction?
Yeah, so LARPs are a really great writing medium if you don't like writing endings.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because the players come up with the ending in a LARP, but I had to come up with an ending. So the plot of the LARP ends around the end of episode 4 of our 10 episodes of the show.
Right.
So that was a big thing.
Yeah.
The other like huge, and this was a strength that I had from it having been a LARP, is that I had this golden opportunity that most big name writers don't have, which is I had seen real actual people live as these characters for hours before I had to write them. So there's a ton of inspiration from things that happened in the LARP that ended up in the show. Like one character has to pee in their escape pod. That was something a player did. One character decided to just count down because they didn't know when anyone was going to be able to hear them or not. And somebody else heard the counting down and was like, oh my God, is this a bomb? And that pops up in the show as well.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things.
Brilliant. So inspiration and sort of an organic process for leading the story on. I love that very much. Cool. And sorry, Rook, you were about to say something.
Oh yeah, no, I was just saying that it was like really interesting having been involved in the knowing everything from the LARP and then reading Emma's scripts, because I was like, oh, I know the LARP, I know all the character secrets, I know who did this, I know who did that, I know everything. And then I got to episode 5 and I was like, what? Wait, what? You're telling, what? And it was incredibly shocking to me, who was not expecting to be shocked.
Gosh, so
LARP players, if you're listening, get ready.
Oh my. How exciting. And yeah, I mean, just talking about your inspirations for audio fiction, how much have you been entrenched in listeners, as a listener to the audio fiction world? And what sort of has inspired you to get involved in the audio fiction community?
I'm being quiet to let Rook go first.
Oh, you want me to do it?
I will address people next time I ask the question. I'll give it to someone. So let's start off with you, Rook.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know what inspires me. I mean, I was, you know, really into the Magnus Archives, and I got to see a lot of, like, you know, Rusty Quill's process. I was, you know, subscribed to their Patreon and everything. So I got to see, oh, you know, it was just, you know, some folks under a duvet, and, you know, if they could do it, then, you know, why can't I?
Yes.
And let's see, I also listen to I Am in Askew, which is also a guy in a duvet.
Yep.
I've been meaning to listen to the Silk Verses, but I haven't yet.
Dude, it's a great show.
There are so many podcasts that I need to listen to that I haven't yet. It's terrible, which is why I'm afraid of like saying which podcasts I have listened to. But also, there's also Wolf 359 is incredible.
Yes.
Listen to a lot of Welcome to Night Vale back in the day. That was my first audio fiction.
I think that's one of a few rites of passage, that one, definitely.
Yeah.
And how about you, Emma?
Yeah, so I think Rook was probably more of a fan of audio fiction before we got into this than me, but I had listened to The Strange Case of Starship Iris and Wolf 359.
Yeah.
Those were like my first ones. But great. I also have to give a big shout out to Rook and I graduated from Swarthmore College just outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And there are several people we know from Swarthmore, which is a tiny school, who had already made audio dramas. And I looked to them to get a lot of advice.
Oh.
So Amy Giacomucci, who did did God's Head Incidental, Oliver Lipton, who did Whisperling, yes. Alex Kingsley, who does The Stench of Adventure.
Oh, yes, a new one I've just jumped in on. That's great fun. Yes.
Yeah.
How very groovy. And I know my partner in crime on Adwit lives Philadelphia way, the lovely Lindsay Harris-Friel, who made Jan Saxon Rising and all sorts of other things for 11th Hour Audio. So it's obviously a burgeoning creative pot there, right? There's something in the water. Or how do you say water? I don't remember how you say. She told me how you say
water. Water if it's
water.
Philly.
Water.
Water, yes.
Neither of us are actually from Philly, but the Philly folks do say water.
Water, yeah. Grimmy, well, that's very cool. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? There are so many now brilliant shows that are being made either individually or as team kind of efforts. And could you talk to me about who else is on your team that's imperative to making this happen, other than, of course, the voice actors you've got involved?
So I did mention Swarthmore College. We do have a number of people who we went to undergrad with on the team as well. Our brilliant composer is Emily Branham, who went to school with us. And I said I wear a lot of hats. The thing that I am incapable of doing is music and composing. So Emily's been a bit of a godsend on that front. We've been getting a lot of praise for our soundtrack, and it is super deserved.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the pod. I have to say as well, it's nice, not nice, that's the wrong word. It's fantastic to hear a fully fledged sung intro song. We don't really hear much of that, right?
Yeah.
So that's very groovy. So yeah, and it sounds beautiful. Yeah. So well done on that front. The music is gorgeous. And it peppers it, doesn't it? There's a few characters that launch into song, but not kind of like Mary Poppins, Dick Van Dyke style. It's a little subtle, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
But music is very important in it. I would say that the idea of music and space was another huge inspiration for the show. Mm. There's the whiskey in the jar from the first episode of Starship Iris was a big inspiration for us having a creepy folk song in the first episode. But we can talk more about that later. And then specifically the scene from the movie Gravity from 2013, where Sandra Bullock, I guess spoilers for Gravity, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
Sandra Bullock thinks she's about to die. And she's in space, and she gets in radio contact with this guy in Greenland who doesn't speak her language. His name is Aningak. They don't have a language in common. And Aningak thinks her name is Mayday, and then he's got a baby with him, and he starts singing a lullaby to his baby. Mm-hmm. And Sandra Bullock's character is just like, you know, if this is the last thing I hear, that's okay. Yeah. I'm hearing a man singing a song to a baby. Yeah. That's a pretty good last thing to hear. And I was just crying in the theater watching that scene. So that was another huge inspiration. So the music is very, very important to our show. So Emily does a lot.
Yeah. And I do love it. I think it does add a little also slice of unique to your podcast, which does, I think, help it stand out in the array of beautiful things we can listen to.
I just real quick shout out our two singers in the podcast?
Yes, please do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there is a band in the show called About Gardens, played by the wonderful Alexandra Rose DeAngelis and Omar Camps Cameron, although Omar singing has not yet been on the podcast been released as of this recording.
I'm excited.
But they are both wonderful actors, wonderful singers, wonderful people. Alex is a dear, dear friend who I have known since we were very small. And Omar is another Swarthmore alum I've been in shows, like in theater shows with both of them. And I've heard both of them sing before. And by pure coincidence, Alex and I, not by coincidence, but Omar by coincidence, ended up working at a LARP camp together last summer. Cool. And so I got to see Alex and Omar working together. And so I'm like, ooh, these two people would be very good in the podcast.
Hashtag
and so when they both sent in auditions, I was like, yes. And also Alex was also in the original LARP as the character they play in the podcast.
Oh, that's very cool.
I know these are two people who understand the importance of music as well as being incredible singers. I cannot wait for you to hear them sing together.
I can't wait either.
Yeah,
great. I mean, it's fantastic as it is, but to hear both of them would be glorious. Fantastic.
But also for shouting out non-voice actors, there's also our other script editor, Shione C. White, another Swarthmore alum, who I was brought on first as a script editor, mostly because Emma needed a script editor, and that was, like, the first thing that she needed for this as a podcast. And I was like, yes, I would like to continue to be involved in this. I'll be a script editor, whatever a script editor does. I will edit scripts. Cool. And then Shione came on, and I was like, oh, thank God we have someone who really knows how to write.
Dang, I should have sent you that script for the top of the show a week ago, right? Need an edit. Never mind. Sorry, carry on.
But Shione is a wonderful writer and was also incredibly important to have on the team, and also originally played the role in the LARP that I play in the podcast.
What? How exciting.
Yeah.
Shione is a published author of sci-fi short stories.
Oh,
they've
brilliant.
Written for Uncanny and for Podcastle, which is fantasy, but they write fantasy and sci-fi.
Yeah. So for the writers amongst us, have a look up all those places. I'll put links in the show notes and ping your stuff to them. You never know where it could lead.
And everyone who likes reading cool things, look up Shione C. White, please.
Yes,
do.
Absolutely.
Could you send me a link to their work and we will put that on too?
Absolutely.
And then our final crew member who isn't on the cast is Tatiana Arkdander, mm-hmm. who did our show logo.
Beautiful.
She is an animation student also here in Scotland.
Yes. Image is so important, isn't it, to get it out there and, again, just to help it stand out in the sea of amazing, beautiful artists that have shared their works as logos and beyond. Very, very cool. And I want to also shout out the fact that on the last episode you mentioned you had the lovely Caroline Minx as a sensitivity reader. And how did that come about and why?
Yeah, so I am familiar with Caroline's work from Seen and Not Heard,
Glorious.
Which is an audio drama about a woman who is going deaf. And just the fact that you can do things with deaf and hard of hearing characters and sign language, et cetera, in an audio medium
yeah.
was really fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
My only familiarity with that stuff is that I took an American Sign Language course for one semester in undergrad.
Right.
But it was on my mind as these characters are having difficulties communicating with the AI in their escape pod. The AI can't hear them,
yeah.
Which is a holdover from the fact that I couldn't be 10 places at once during the LARP. I play the AI. So that is purely there because of the LARP, but it makes for
great.
An interesting character conflict.
Yeah.
So one character in this, the second episode comes up with a creative solution of using sign language to try and communicate with the AI.
Right.
And I wanted to bring on a sensitivity reader who was part of the deaf community to take a look at the scripts.
Brilliant.
So Caroline, they helped us out with episode 2 and episode 10. You'll see why when we get to episode 10.
Oh, exciting. Yeah, Caroline is a super legend and you should check out all their works. I'm very pleased to have been involved in Silly Old Bear, which is one of their current projects, which if you want a calming, relaxing, little gentle listen, that's your starting point. No, that sounds amazing. What a wonderful array of folks you have to play with you on this glorious adventure.
This is a bit of Calm in the Podcast.
Yeah, I thought I'd introduce a little moment, because, you know, I'm a bit manic, I've realised. So, you know, whatever you're doing now, unless it's a danger to life, just stop. Feel your feet on the floor or your bum on whatever surface you're sitting on. Feel your own heartbeat with your hand. Go to that wrist, that neck, where your heart is, and just breathe. Let's do some square breathing, shall we? We're going to breathe in for 4, hold for 4, out for 4. Hold for 4. We're going to do that twice. Yeah, we are. You can do it. Afford the time to just be in this moment. Right now. Breathe in. 2, 3, 4. And hold. 2, 3, 4. And out. 2, 3, 4. And hold. 2, 3, 4. And in. 2, 3, 4. And hold. 2, 3, 4. And out. 2, 3, 4. And hold. 2, 3, 4. And breathe as you like. I hope it's brought a little slice of calm to your day. Now, on with the podcast. so sorry about these twiddly bits.
And I guess the main thing is to ask, really, what advice would you give to other folks considering adapting their LARP for audio fiction? Because obviously, I suppose you've had quite a learning curve if it's your first time doing it, right? If you forgive give the way I've asked that question, I don't mean to sound like condescending. I don't mean to. But yeah, I'm sure that it's, you know, it's a different medium, isn't it? And there must have been some things that have been challenging for you.
Especially in a space where it is very common to have like actual play TTRPGs already be people's podcasts. This is like a different beast in a sense. It was very complicated in terms of deciding to stick with the ensemble cast, because a LARP will have, and a TTRPG, every player character is just as important as all the other player characters. But in a normal narrative, you usually have a handful of main characters. So trying to stick with having every character have a role in a story arc was the biggest challenge there, I would say. But we did it. My biggest piece of advice to literally anyone starting an audio drama is to have a full solid draft written before you bring people on board.
Right. Okay.
If you're trying to write while you're doing other parts of production, you might be able to do it, and more power to you, but it's going to be so much more difficult.
Yes. Just juggling all that, and also your creative headspace, I'm sure, is all over the place. But that's a wonderful piece of advice. And how then did that work? So as you were passing it on for people to table read, was it, or just generally read themselves? How did it work?
In adapting the LARP, it was really just me and Rook who were like fully on board at that point. I was just writing drafts and then dropping them for Rook to look at, and I was like, don't critique me, just read them.
Yeah. I was sending memes and comments, I think, at that point.
Which was my strength and my lifeblood.
I was just like, this character, my beloved, etc.
So I don't really know that. Yeah, we didn't really do table reads at that point, although definitely later on in the editing process, once we brought Shioni on board, like half the comments were things like, I read this aloud and it doesn't quite flow right, consider rewording to whatever, whatever. So reading aloud is very important and helpful.
Yes, I think that's key for anything anyone's ever writing, is to, even if it's just you pacing around your front room and in your pants or pajamas, read it out loud and just see if you can breathe to the end of a line, you're winning.
That and giving, when you have 12 main characters, giving each of them like a specific, I don't know if I want to say verbal tick, or just like way that they talk that stand out from all the others.
Yes. Who was it that was talking to me about that, to do with trees and how every single tree grows differently, and to see your cast as a different form of growth and tree. I love that. Budding or not.
My character says like a lot, and a lot of mine and Shioni's comments were, this sounds awkward, they wouldn't say like there, put it there instead.
Yeah, brilliant. And that's the thing, isn't it, trying to work out the flow of things, how dialogue can sometimes get in the way of that, can't they? So yes, having good editors around to help notice things like that is key. So well done, editors. I'm dire need of one for my work.
I will say that Emma gave us a like pretty clean draft. Like, we didn't have a lot of like big like, oh no, you can't have that happen in episode 10, or like, oh no, you can't bring the story there. Like,
right.
Like the trajectory of the story as Emma originally wrote it, or at least gave it to me, was fantastic. Like, there was a lot of like fine tuning, but it was really mostly just fine tuning.
Okay, brilliant. Amazing.
And, oh, shucks.
Yeah, huzzah and kudos to your amazing writing, Emma. And I guess beyond that, just as a starting point, have you gained funding previously, or is this something you're doing now or looking into doing for future productions?
Ain't that always the question?
It's the big one.
Well, we did a crowdfunding campaign. So we decided to do a crowdfunding campaign because I wanted to be able to pay the actors. It was a fair amount of thinking, like making a budget for that before we started, trying to think what would be realistic to go for. I did talk to Amy Giacomucci about her campaign for Godshead Incidental and get some advice from that. We wanted to be able to have the theme song and a trailer ready to go up with the crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
But we didn't cast it before the crowdfunding campaign. And that was like a sort of a personal thing of it's perfectly valid to cast before you do the crowdfunding campaign. But you have to be very upfront with the actors then of, I don't know how much I can pay you. And I wanted to be able to tell people how much we could pay them.
Superb. I mean, I think that's a great practice as well, and very upfront, because I think some voice actors have got treated poorly in the past, I have to say. So it's good to see folks looking out for them, because they're precious in their big, egotistical, lovely ways.
That's also the point at which I decided that I was going to be doing the sound design, because that was the one thing where I was like, I would not feel right bringing on a sound designer unless I could pay them, like, I don't know, at least $100, $150 per episode, and that's not even enough. And I didn't think we could raise that much money as no names.
So hang on a second. Whoa, stop. So hang on, wait. This is your first ever sound design adventure? You're amazing. Yes. It sounds glorious fun.
I know, right?
Well done. Honestly, it sounds really, really fantastic, immensely fun. So yeah, great. Thanks. Great fun.
You know, I think I've been accidentally teaching myself a lot of relevant skills over the years just from being in fandom spaces and making fan content, like video editing and stuff like that.
That's a very valid thing to say, right? I think having that as a training ground, it sounds like it's done you good.
So listeners, if you're like out there making AMVs or whatever, you can probably sound design. It's different skills and there's some different stuff, but some of it's transferable.
Yes, super, brilliant. So let's imagine the point where you've got the team in place, you've got your crowdfunder done, and you've raised some pennies. Woohoo! Celebration, fireworks, cheering. And now you want to cast it. What did you do and how did you do that? And where did you find these glorious people?
Good question.
Rook, you want to take that one?
Yeah! So we mostly, I think, sent it out via Twitter, although, you know, we also did, like, sending it to our friends and posting on Facebook, but Twitter was the main place where we gathered auditions. But we had
Did you use @audioauditions at all?
Yes, I believe we did.
We did.
Good, because I want to recommend that should be a place where all folks should fling their hearty audio fiction auditions. It's run by me and the lovely Tarmania now, who I brought on board because I just didn't have enough time to do it all the time. And I know Tal is amazing.
Oh, it's wonderful.
They are just wonderful. Absolutely. All the brilliant words you can ever think of saying just helping this audio fiction space grow. So thank you, Tal. So flinging it out on Twitter. Great.
Yeah, we had a Google form, so everything was already neatly in a Google Sheet spreadsheet, which is always so nice. However, we did make...
Rook loves their spreadsheets.
It's just a very handy way of organizing things, and sometimes you want things organized. And this is one of those instances. Although then, I did then make another spreadsheet that we put all of the auditions into that was more handy to navigate for our purposes, because everybody could audition with up to 3 characters plus a villain monologue, because we didn't want to reveal in the audition who the villain
so
was.
Good.
Or, but we did want to see who could, you know, actually play a villain. So we did a monologue from The Adventure Zone and a monologue from Wolf 359. and they could pick one of those. So there was an optional villain monologue. And also, if they played one of the bandmates, they could also do a singing monologue. Or it's not a singing monologue, a song, a singing audition. I know how singing works. I do musical theater. The thing is, there were just like 3 slots for their, on the initial spreadsheet, there was 3 slots for their 3 auditions, and then one slot for the optional villain monologue, and one slot for the optional singing audition. You know, if you wanted to see it by character audition, you couldn't really do that. So I made a spreadsheet that had it separated out by character, and I just copy-pasted, like, okay, this person auditioned for this character, so I'll put them in that column, and this person auditioned for this character, and I'll put the link to that audition in that column. And so we could filter by, you know, which characters people audition for, so we could see all of the auditions for this character and all the auditions for this character all at once. And it made it much easier to get through.
Yes. And then did you have, like, ones you loved the most and ones you thought, can't hear them, the quality of audio is bad? Did that in any way affect how did you choose your best characters? What happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we got 361 auditions, I believe.
Brilliant.
And that's people auditioning, and they could audition for up to 3 characters plus a villain monologue plus
that's
plus
a lot of auditions to listen to, my goodness.
Yeah. So we listened as they came through, and in my fun little second spreadsheet, we put in like little comments of like, oh, I couldn't hear this one. Oh, this person's accent is nice. Oh, you know, I like them for these 2 characters, but not so much for this character. Just so we had a sense of what each audition was generally like. And
yeah.
We had it up for we have it up for a month or 2 months.
We would have had 1,000 auditions if it had been 2 months.
Yeah, good lord. Yeah, yeah, I think we had the crowdfunding campaign was out for 2 months, and the audition was out for 1 month. I think that's why I got
right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we had it up for a month, and then after that month was over, the audition was closed. We then went back and re-listened. We like had some people we had in mind, and we first I think went through of like just a quick like who's not going through to the next round, who we should take another listen to. So, and everyone who is like, this person's doing this on a laptop mic, it's not very, the audio quality's not very good, or this person didn't follow directions, you know, this person doesn't seem enthusiastic, doesn't mm-hmm. you know, this person doesn't seem to know what's going on here.
Yeah, I've got to say, as a voice actor, I'm really shocked also when I got auditions in where people just seem like they're just phoning it in. And you just think, this is your moment to make your producer sit up and go, yeah, I want you. So that really is shocking, isn't it, that you also have had the same experience of people just not giving it their everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
one person just sent us a link to his hip hop track.
Yeah, that was weird.
And like nothing else.
Yeah. Okay. It's like
amazing.
Cool dude. Not what we asked for, literally at all. But, you know, have fun with that. You know, and also it's like we asked for like, you know, pronouns, and some people gave kind of weird answers for that.
Okay.
And it's just like, okay, if you're not cool with like, not necessarily like giving your personal pronouns, but like the concept of pronouns, like my pronouns are I'm a man, like
okay.
then maybe you're not going to vibe like well with our you know, queer run podcast, you know.
I suppose that's one easy way of filtering out people with you know you're not going to work well with, right?
Yeah,
sadly.
Yeah, no, there are some people who had lesser vibes, and so we filtered those people out, and that was our first round, right? And then we did a re-listen to everyone who we didn't filter out, and then we made like we put in another sheet with people who were like, okay, so for this character these people are good, and for this character these people are good, and we came up with a bunch of short lists, some of which I think were as long as like 16 or 17 people, some of which were as short as like 4 people, but we really kind of knew who we wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because like there were some characters where we just really didn't know what kind of person we wanted to do. Because one of the things with this that I think was different than a lot of other auditions is partially because of how its origins as a LARP, and also how like our friend group does LARPs, which is largely like kind of gender blind.
Okay.
That the auditions was completely gender blind. there were a couple of characters where it's like, we would prefer a woman for this role, we would prefer a man for this role, but that's mostly because it's like, we didn't really want, we kind of would prefer the flight attendant be male, just because there's, you know, stereotypes with like female flight attendants, and we wanted to kind of subvert that. But almost everything else was, you know, we didn't care what accent, what gender, what have you. It just could be anything. And also, many of the characters are aliens who don't even have, like, our human concept of gender.
Yeah.
But then the human characters, we also wanted a mix of genders and, you know, trans people and cis people and what have you. And
it,
so
it is a glorious mix of different voices, I do have to say. And and accents wise as well.
We really did want a lot of I think the term Emma has used in the past is accent fury. We just wanted a lot of that.
Is NDAF explicit, Sarah?
Oh yeah, can I cuss on here?
It'll get a of happiness just to help this stay non-explicit.
Excellent.
So you can say Korea as long as you like. Every time you say Korea, it will just be out. So say Korea as much as you like.
All right. So we had some good old accent, but you know, we didn't have in our heads, you know, what each character would sound like, and so so there were some characters where we were like leaning more towards like a particular sort of vibe, and there are some where it's like, you know, we have. Like, I had, I think, like, particularly for the couple who are now called Trip and Pascal.
Yes.
We really had just no idea what we wanted for those. So those two characters, I think, had, like, really long lists of, like,
yeah.
I don't know, that there's a like, lot of really good actors who bring
that was, like, depends who else
things.
We cast.
Yeah.
Because one of my biggest pet peeves listening to a show is if I can't differentiate voices.
Yes.
So we really tried to have 12 very different sounding voices.
Mm, key. That's key, I do feel. Yeah, brilliant. And I think you've done that beautifully. And so how did you fight for the last choices then? Because surely maybe one of you thought this person and another thought them. How did you get down to your final ones? Was it arm wrestling or like mud wrestling or...
We took a day off. That was
and separately made final lists. And I think we separately made top threes for each role, and then we saw where it overlapped. And then we played Tetris of build the cast until we found one that worked.
That sounds great. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Well, congrats to all the cast that you have got. I think they're all glorious. All the ones I've heard. I don't know if I've heard everyone yet, but I love it very much.
I think you've heard all but one of the main cast.
Okay. Very exciting. And so how did you then get these folks together? What happened next in your process?
Yeah, so then we invited everyone to a Discord server. We've been running organization things through Discord.
Cool.
So we collected like bios, headshots, things like that from people. They're PayPal emails so they can be paid, which is very important. And then it was very important to me, too, in the Discord server that we only bother people as much as we need to bother them, because some people are going to get really like enthusiastic. And like some of our cast are like, let's assign all the characters to the Tarot Major Arcana. And then the others are like, you know, I'm just going to show up when it's time to record. And those are both perfectly valid.
Yes.
And so I wanted to give people the opportunity to engage as much or as little as they wanted.
Love that.
But we quickly realized that we had a cast with a 16-hour time zone spread ranging from California to Singapore.
Love it. The world is amazing.
Luckily, I'm in the middle. But
yes. Pivoting around you.
Yes. Rogue Maker revolves around the UK. No. When is good was our friend. Because that lets me, like, everyone can fill out the form and then I can say exclude these responses so I can just see when these four people are available, which is very helpful.
And is that an app?
It's one of the websites that you can use for scheduling. There's a million of them, but When Is Good is my favorite.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it works well for me. And so we wanted to do as much... We recorded in three major chunks. We did, like, episodes 1 to 4 together, and then episodes 5, 6, and part of 7, and then the rest through episode 10. With like a couple weeks break in between each. And for each of those chunks, I had everybody fill out a when is good. We scheduled a table read, which we managed to get 10 out of 12 of the main cast at every table read.
Well,
and then Emily
brilliant.
Came on and helped us, and Rook's girlfriend came on also and helped us read extra parts, which was very kind of them.
Oh, but they enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thank you, Julia.
So the table reads were really for the scenes that like all of the characters are in. So we recorded the table reads and then people read those lines asynchronously and had a certain amount of time to get them in. But as much as possible, we wanted to do synchronous recordings. So like scenes that had two or three characters in them, we would schedule a time and all come online. And we managed to get nearly every session had both Rook and I at it to direct.
That's brilliant.
Which was especially important when one of us was in the scene so the other could direct.
Yes. See, that's another difficult thing. And I wonder if I can just take a step backwards before we continue with the directing side, in as much as organising that table read, obviously you've done LARPing stuff and perhaps been at the helm of organising that before. But can you be really honest and say, how nervous were you on a scale of 1 to 10 at that first table read, getting everyone together? How did you feel when the moment where people started to ping on and collate and you met your cast, I guess, in full for the first time? Can you tell us how that went?
Yeah. Well, I was terrified that, like, my internet would cut out or something. I just, in this day and age, we still have internet difficulties. And I'm going to knock on wood as I'm saying this
that's
this
all.
Call
Everyone,
right now,
find wood, touch it now.
Yeah. I was just...
Kind of her poo-poo, et cetera.
Yeah. I was just so scared of that. But then, yeah, hearing people actually read the script was at once... humbling and like embarrassing. Aww. Because I get this weird secondhand embarrassment when people read my writing out loud. I've gotten over it mostly, but at first it was hard.
Yeah.
And then also really, really cool to see, like, you know, actors are people.
Yes.
Controversial opinion, but they're people and they're all...
I disagree. As an actor, I disagree. I don't think... That's why on commercials it says real people, not actors, because actors aren't people.
Okay, fair point. But whatever actors are, they're clearly bringing some outside experience to the character. Just seeing people's interpretation of the script was just really cool, and it was a blur. And if I hadn't recorded the session, I don't think I'd remember it.
Sure. How exciting. Yeah. And how about you, Rook? Same question, really, in your first involvement. How was it for you?
Yeah, I was just, like, really excited. I was like, can we have the cast? I was like, can we have the cast together already? Can we meet all of them? Like, I was mostly nervous that I would, like, I really like to talk a lot.
Who's that?
And so sometimes Emma would have to, like, kind of coach me beforehand and be like, you know, hold my hand a little bit and be like, okay, Rook, we have a lot of work that we need to do. And our actors are probably busy people, in as much as they are people. And you can't talk the whole time. You can't just go on whatever tangent. We have to get through this. And so, you know... It's like, I really just wanted to, like, see the, like, how's everyone doing? How is, like, let's talk about what TV shows we like for 2 hours. But, you know, we have to get some work done, I suppose. But, we do encourage camaraderie.
Great.
And, you know, we have check-ins and all of that. And so it's good to know how everyone's doing for the day. And we had introductions and everything.
And after that first table read, a lot of people did stay on at the end and just chatted for like an hour. I was like,
awesome.
This is great.
It was very fun.
I think that's great, having that loose part when it's been, because I'm sure, like you yourselves as voice actors, perhaps on other bits and bobs that you've done, it's that whole thing of like your real life beforehand. You know, I had a time where I'd spilt coffee all over myself. So I had to I did one of the table reads in my pajamas. I'm not saying which one, but I flung a jumper over everything. And just the stress of getting online on time to this thing where I know that there's 500 people from different time zones all coming on, and then to act like, you know, you're just in and everything's cool and everything's fine. To me, that was just one of the most hilarious, best acting things I've ever done. But yeah, that nervousness as well of meeting people and trying out that voice for the first time, or being that character for the first time, and thinking, God, did the directors like that, or is it shit? I think is another worrisome thing as a voice actor, really, isn't it? And I think because both of you do have roles on it, let's jump back to that moment of how did that pressure and stress for you, as well as also then being the director's kind of work, what was in place to help you?
Okay. I mean, for me, I was just, you know, doing an impression of my good friend Shione a little bit there. I don't know, it was interesting, because it's like, this is a character who I've thought of for a while and who I've known to some degree or another since, you know, since Shiny first played them in, you know, early 2021.
Okay.
And so I think I was, and also I've been an actor for a very long time, and this is my first, and I've done some, a little bit of voice acting before, and I'd never direct, and I've done some directing for theater in school before, but I'd never directed for audio drama before. So I was much more nervous about directing than acting, because I'm like, acting I could do in my sleep.
Yeah.
Acting, I know how that works. Yeah. I mean, I was very excited about directing. I had all of my scripts printed out so I can write notes in them.
Yes.
And the scripts the physical scripts I used only for the for when I was directing and for the table reads. I didn't use them for when I was recording a scene because I didn't want the page turning sound to be an issue.
Right.
Mention also that I record, my room is on the second floor and I record in the basement, and I didn't want to have another thing to carry down to the basement.
Fair enough.
That's neither here nor there. I digress. But for this, yeah, no, the acting, it was just really fun to get to do it across from other people and hear different voices as all these characters who I've known to some degree or another for a while now.
How exciting. And how about you, Emma, with regards to directing as well? As well as having written and act in it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm very lucky in the sense of I'm playing the same role that I did in the LARP version, which is the ship's AI. So
yes.
From a directing standpoint, there's literally nothing to direct about Ship. I just do the robot voice.
Yes.
It can't be directed in terms of, oh, add more emotion here, because Ship literally can't.
No. Bless.
Yeah. So that was like accidentally the perfect role for me. But yeah, like having to do the voice while knowing all these like actors, some of whom I've like been a fan of, are listening to me live. I'm not an actor, unlike Rook, or not like in the same sense. I've just done a little bit of audio drama stuff, whereas Rook's like a theater major. It's still very nerve-wracking to me, and I still feel like I can give a better performance when it's asynchronous and I have a ton of time to get the perfect take.
Yes.
But I have, like, when I first got on shows that were like, we're going to do synchronous recording, I was so nervous. I have mostly been swayed over to the side of synchronous recording for myself. I was always on board with it for other people. But for myself, I'm starting to move to there as well, because it's just so much more fun to bounce off of people.
Yeah, and I guess with your editor hat on too, it's a little less time intensive if you have those three or four things all together that you can link up rather than going through individual files who've done it three times each for you or what have you. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can remember which take was the good one and what direction I gave. Yeah, directing was very much a learning on the go thing. Rook had to coach me there in terms of tell the actor what you want without like giving them an imitation of, like, don't do the line yourself, just tell them how you want them to do it, that sort of thing. I had to learn.
Yes. So. Yeah, the temptation is so great.
You know, especially as a director who is used to being an actor, it's the temptation is always there to, you know, because you as an actor have an idea in your head of how you would read this line.
Absolutely.
But, you know, how Rook would read the line is not the same as to how Emma would read the line, or how Nea would read the line, or how Alistair would read the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so you have to do a little bit of mental calculus of, like, now, do I feel like that's wrong because it doesn't suit the character, it doesn't suit the scene, it isn't portraying the right emotion, or is it because that's not how Rook would do it?
Yeah.
And also, you know, and so I, and, you know, these are things that I have reckoned with in my own, you know, theater directing in school experience. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, it's also been a minute since I've done theater. And so I've like kind of, you know, so it was like there was still a big learning curve for me on things. And also I am also shout out to the Faustian Nonsense Network and Amy in Supersuits, who she's the Amelia Kinch, I believe is her full name. But Amy is the director for that, which I am an ensemble member of. And she has been wonderful. And I have been to some of her workshops.
Super.
and also just talked to her one-on-one, and she's told me a lot about, gosh, I forgot the words, but...
The art of directing, maybe? Is that what that...
Yeah, no. It's like, there's like two different forms of direction that you can give. There's like a more technical and a more emotional, and I'm not sure if those are the words she uses, and it probably isn't. But there's like the more technical, which is like, okay, pitch your voice up a half step, or do that slower, or, you know, have your voice go down, you know, pitch your voice down at the end of the line, or what have you. Whereas, you know, there's also the more emotional, Amy likes to give the example of, can you do it more blue?
Right.
You know, just give it a more purple vibe, you know? Or just, but like, you know, sometimes it's just like, oh, I want it to feel a little bit more hurt, you know, as opposed to, oh, can you have your voice crack on this word?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, there's an art to it.
Mm. Both are good ways of directing, and they work, some actors work better with one form, and some actors work better with another, and some actors work better with a mix of both. And so you have to be able to tune your directing for each of your actors.
Read the room and hope they don't cry.
I'm still excited for the day that Rook actually gets to direct me in a thing, because both the things we've been in together have involved something where I'm doing a voice that is undirectable because it's just a voice.
Oh, well, someone better get writing something for Emma and Rook, please. Send it into the address on the show notes. but brilliant. So you've managed to navigate the glorious realms of directing a table reads and have the recordings done. Did you get any to do things individually as well? And when they sent them to you, how long now is the timeline from that to getting it up and out?
So we started recording pretty much as soon as we finished casting in November 2020. So our final round of recording ended in March of this year. I think I had drafts for the first couple of episodes by like January, February. So it's a several month process, but it's the sort of timeline where if you'd shown that to me a year ago, I'd be like, oh, that's slow. But now that I'm actually doing it, I'm like, I think this is literally every step of this has been the fastest we possibly could have while like respecting everyone's lives and health.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? It takes a long time, and especially as an editor, putting all the things together. Yes,
yep.
It's a massive process, and I think does shock some people when they find out all of the events that have to take place to make it sound so groovy. And I wonder, are we possibly able to listen to some of your glorious clips now? Would you allow us some listening time?
Absolutely. We've selected a couple for your perusal.
Super duper, folks. So this first clip. Do you want to just tell us what the first clip is and why you wanted to include it today?
So this is the theme song for our show, which is written and performed by Emily Branham. Unlike the other songs in the show, Emily did write the lyrics for this one as well, based off what I feel like was a very short description of what I wanted the show to be about, because this was written very early on. But love a good audio drama that has like a catchy theme tune. And I've always been one of those people who never skips the theme song, even on TV shows. So this one's very folksy and very spacey.
Kudos to the musicians out there everywhere. Let's have a listen.
Ground control, send me down. I'm lost up here and I can't be found. Ground control, are you there? The voice in my head, it fills the dead air. It says,
you've got time, you've got time. You've got time, you've got time.
Ground control, send me down.
Do, 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 do. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a session. Okay, we need all of your TikTok singings of, or Instagram singings of the theme tune. Best one wins. A big clap.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, that was absolutely
thumbs
glorious.
Up from you.
Thumbs up all round. Yeah, I love it. And I think, you know, bizarrely, there aren't many songs at the beginnings of shows, as we've said before. And yeah, kudos to your beautiful, amazing musician, singer, songwriter to make that happen.
It's so good. I think it was another side effect of me being strongly inspired by The Strange Case of Starship Iris, because they have such great original music in the show, and their season 2 theme song.
They do.
So good.
Yes. They are a wonderful bunch too. I did have a lovely time on that, I've got to say. So yeah, if you haven't listened to Starship Iris, you better do it now. So second clip is something that I always do really for clips to showcase the awesome of audio and its form. So why is this a great indicator of why audio fiction is amazing?
Yeah, so as I said, a huge inspiration for the show came from various interactions I'd had with music and space. So the second clip is from our very first episode, and it is the song Wanderer's Lament, which is never actually named in the show, but it is called Wanderer's Lament, performed by Alexandra Rose DeAngelis playing Wo Olum. Wo is an alien, and Wanderer's Lament is the spooky old folk song from their planet that they sing to themselves while alone in their escape pod.
Beautiful.
I met a group on my wander, a group that I won't name. 5 sleeps there made me fonder, so I won't bring them to shame. We all crossed the terminator, slipping darker into night. On the sharp edge of a crater, we bade farewell to light. In this group I had a sweetheart, Alceplosk was their name. Strong and sure and frankly too smart, we were one and the same. So where are you going? And where do you sleep? Through my bones wind is blowing, but who is there to weep? The leader took us overland toward a pool of water. A steady and determined band, until out cried our spotter. A storm bore down toward us, and the blinding grit and sand hit before we could discuss how to make our final stand. Nosk said they knew just where to go, where shelter could be found. The group leader made the call, no, best stay and hunker down. So where are you going? And where do you sleep? Through my bones wind is blowing, but who is there to weep?
That is so beautifully haunting and gorgeous.
That's the vibe, for sure.
I feel gently calmed and slightly unnerved at the same time.
I know, I just feel like we have to whisper now.
But yeah, so talk to me more about that. How did that come about, where it has done, and that has aired already, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That is in our first episode. Mm-hmm. It was sort of an opportunity to include some world building about our aliens. The Gnonu is what they're called, and what their planet is like. Yeah. So this is meant to be an old folk song. This is not a modern day thing, mm-hmm. but this right away tells you that They live underground. The surface is not a friendly place to them. They have this group structure that's very important. It's very important to not go against the group. They're much more collectivist than individualist. So you get all that through a neat folk song. And then there's the double chambered larynx thing.
Love that. I wish I had one sometimes, and then other times, no, the world would wish I did not.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Yeah, so obviously the beautiful harmonizing by the actor there.
Alexander Rose DeAngelis.
Alex, yeah, great stuff, Alex. You sound gorgeous. So yeah, and I think, you know, through song, I don't really hear, other than obviously ones that are full-scale musicals, singing in shows so much. So it was beautifully refreshing and fantastically well done. So yeah, so keep the singing coming.
There will be more.
And yeah, what are your thoughts on singing in audio fiction, and why should people think about perhaps putting some in theirs? Emma?
I just think music is so powerful. It's funny that you should turn to me on that one, because Rook is the one of us who can sing. I can't really. But I think they're excellent story tools. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, I don't know. I mean, there obviously there's full-on musicals are a big art form. And then there's plenty of things that have no music at all. But the in-between can be really interesting, too. The thing that's coming to mind right now is Steven Universe, which is probably more closer to a musical, definitely, than Rogue Maker, but is a show that has plenty of episodes with, this is not an audio drama, this is a cartoon,
okay,
if people are not aware of what Steven Universe is. But it has plenty of episodes with just no singing at all, and then occasionally has a song that just breaks your heart or makes you laugh or cry or something. So it's a really powerful thing to add. Yeah. These songs are also a huge team effort, because I write the lyrics, by which I mean I write a weird poem, and then I say, this is a haunting folk song, and then I hand it to Emily, and then she composes it and makes a demo, and then we give it to the actors in the band to sing.
Wow. And then how is that recorded in person with the band?
Well, can I take this one?
Yes, please.
So,
do.
Yeah. So, you know, Emily makes the instrumental, and for most of the music, it is done asynchronously. We, like, do a sort of rehearsal in Discord, and if anyone has ever tried to sing together over phone or over Skype or over Discord or anything like that, you'll know that it is impossible, yeah, as Alex and I have learned in our musical theater childhood, of attempting to sing duets together over the phone. But it's impossible. However, there are ways to get around it for rehearsal purposes. What we did for a lot of the rehearsals is that one of the actors would mute themselves and sing along while the other actor sings, and we could all hear it, just so they could hear themselves singing together, even though everyone else couldn't. And so then they would both record it asynchronously over Emily's instrumental.
Nice.
Although it would be hard to, it's hard to get the cutoffs at the same time. However, we're very lucky in that Omar lives in New York City, and Alex and I both live on Long Island.
And road trip.
Roadmaker!
Roadmaker, there it is.
We're going to make this thing, whether you like it or not.
We both went on the train, and we went to Omar's apartment, who fortunately has two microphones. And for one of the songs, specifically, there is a song later on that Woe and Loki, their two characters, sing a cappella.
Nice.
They don't have any instruments, and they're singing with each other.
Yeah, glorious.
And so, you know, which means that Alex and Omar don't have an instrumental to, you know, go off of.
Yeah, right.
But, and, you know, we could have done like a click track, which is the way that these things are often done. Just, you know, have a pre-recorded beat or a pre-made beat and have them sing against that. But, you know, with this a cappella thing, it's, you know, it's a cappella in world. So there's this, you know, organicness to the beat and these two characters who are in worlds playing off of each other. And so since we had the opportunity to record together, we had Alex and Omar record together so that they were able to you know, look at each other and joke around with each other. And there's also, there's even like a couple of ad-libs in there. And so it's like really nice that we were able to get that sort of energy and also like do the lines afterwards, which is great because my character is also in that scene, even though they don't sing.
Brilliant.
And so that was really fun to do. And then also, just to have it, we also recorded a non a cappella version, like with the instrumental of that song while we were there, even though it had already been recorded at that point. And I think we ended up using, we ended up using the one that they recorded at that session, and that's the one that we have.
Awesome.
Yes?
Fantastic. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, probably.
Yeah. Ask Emily.
Let's listen to that, the third and final clip for today. Emma, do you want to tell us why you've chosen this glorious piece for us?
Yeah, so Rogue Maker is a mystery. You've got all these characters scattered throughout escape pods trying to figure out what happened to their ship. And where they're headed now. And so this next clip features some of the mystery elements of the show. We've got the flight attendant, Malachi Tessera, played by Alistair Stewart, and the stowaway, played by our very own Rook Mogavero. And they're discussing they're discussing this strange encounter the stowaway had with another passenger named Alice Obelis, played by Nea DeRusso, back on the flight before it exploded. And they also discuss Alice's mysterious suitcase. So this is an interweaving part of the storyline.
Love it. Let's have a listen. Strap in, folks.
Doesn't look like I'll be delivering this to John now. No. Absolute best option. If J-Gov gets here before we're all dead, I gotta ditch the case somehow and pray they don't scan this part of space too hard. Fat chance of any of that. Hear that, ship? If we get rescued, I need you to blow up my suitcase for the good of society.
The exit is sealed for your safety.
Good robot. Don't let any agents in. Keep me safe. Hang on. The latch. I swear it was locked. The delivery's still there. All intact, but... but who opened my suitcase?
What?
Sabotage! Like, someone messing with the flight? Sabotage!
Be very careful what words you're throwing around here.
The only people allowed in the cockpit are, like, you and the captain, right?
That's correct, and I don't often have reason to go there.
I saw someone go in there.
What?
In, like... the middle of the first night, when everyone was asleep.
Are you sure it wasn't the captain?
Yeah, the captain's a Gnonu, right?
Captain Tossel's Gnonu, yeah.
This was a human. Like, an older human? Long coat, short dark hair?
That could be Alice. What were they doing in the cockpit?
They were,
Wait, what were you doing in the cockpit?
I wasn't in the cockpit. I was just up to get some mac and cheese because, hey, I gotta eat, and I saw the cockpit. And the human.
Right.
We just stared at each other for a bit, like deer in headlights style. I had not expected to see anyone, and neither had they. And then I had an idea, so I tried to, like, play it like Quentin in the Dr. Song episode where they find out their dad was the Luna president because they have the same rare blood type. Quentin pretended to be, like, a light flight auditor to trick the spaceport staff. Only this human saw right through me, like... they said they needed to do something in the cockpit, and in exchange for my silence, they wouldn't tell anyone I was a stowaway. And they'd, like, mess with the AI's programming so it wouldn't notice me either.
What?
Yeah, I was like, phew, that hadn't even occurred to me. Anyway, I'm not an idiot. I asked them, like, what they were going to do in the cockpit, and they said none of my business, so I asked if it would harm anyone, and they said, like, no, we'd all be fine, and... still get to Sirius, and no one would ever even know about this if everything went well. So I said, deal.
You let them go into the cockpit and reprogram ship.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was I supposed to do? I, like, seriously needed to get to Sirius.
The plot thickens.
Da, da, da. Oh my God.
I gotta say, I was funking away to that music there as well, and I don't have to gun
out. I was dancing in my room.
It's like a groovy 80s sort of funky soundtrack there. So, yeah, tell me, why do you feel that showcases some audio excellence in the medium? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's very emblematic of the show because I said that thing about ads earlier where you've got this like dissonance and the story is pulling you back and forth between like high drama, high emotion, and then like a pun like I seriously needed to get to serious.
I love that stuff. Great.
Yeah. It's just not commented on in the narrative, but mm-hmm. you know, if you notice it, then you're suddenly drawn to that. But the show is a mystery. We have these stellar, pun intended, performances from all three actors in that scene.
Yes. Do you want to name them? Who are we listening to? Just name them all.
Yeah, so that was Nea DeRusso as Alice Obelis. That was the first voice you heard. And then there was Rook Mocavero as the stowaway and Alistair Stewart as Malachi Tessera, the flight attendant.
Love them. Grand. And I think it's just the lovely mix there and the tenseness of, you know, you could hear the moment where the person, I forgot the name, sorry, but who basically was saying, that they've been caught doing something they shouldn't. And there was that, kind of moment, which I loved very much. Great performances there. I think that if that hasn't wet your whistle, folks, if that's the term we can use, then I don't know what will. Go in, jump in, and when this episode is finished, listen to everything that's out so far and comment on Twitter to all of the addresses I'll put in the show notes to say how wonderful you think these folks are. So we have got to our quickfire quiz time. Are you ready? Because if you're not, it's happening anyway.
All right.
In 3, 2, 1, both of you, who is, number one, who is your naughtiest voice actor? Name them, celebrate them. Who are they?
Bonnie.
What do they do that's
naughty? I originally was saying Bonnie, but I think I'm going to change my answer to Sam Laporte, who you've not met yet.
Okay, why? Why? What do they do and why?
Bonnie is a chaos goblin.
Gosh, I want that on my CV. Love it. and Sam, what?
Sam Laporte, who I have to full name here because we have two Sams.
Yes.
Sam Yao is very well behaved. Sam Laporte is actually someone who is also in the original LARP, who is someone who we know through our friend Jupiter. And my initial knowledge of Sam Laporte was just in our like friend group chat, Jupiter sending us like little quotes that they had given. And so I for a while just purely knew Sam Laporte as Jupiter's chaos gremlin of a coworker, little bastard goblin coworker, who, you know, chucks nasty turkeys into the woods and, I don't know.
Oh, he'll love that you said that.
Well, that is a thing that he did.
It's well known amongst the communities. Brilliant. Done, you naughty voice actors. You keep it up. Question two: who in all the world ever made, even alive or dead, would you want to cast? No, not dead. Let's start again. Who would you want to, who is still alive, to cast in future shows, and what or who should they be?
Oh, sorry, I have no idea who they would be. But
20 seconds to answer.
First person who comes to mind for whatever reason, because we have this weird spiritual connection with St. Kilda, is Maeve de Bruin. She's really cool. I would absolutely love to have her in something.
Maeve should be in everything. Groovy. And your answer, Rook?
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind for me was Liam O'Brien. I was a very big fan of Critical Role, and everyone in that is fantastic voice actors, although in like to the left of what we do. I don't think we could get Liam O'Brien, but it would be super cool to work with
Liam O'Brien, if you're listening.
Liam O'Brien, if you're listening.
See, this is it. I'm a great believer in manifesting.
Yeah.
Groovy, how exciting. I look forward to those episodes. Yeah. Question three. What would you have done differently from this experience? 30 seconds to answer. Rook first.
Oh, gosh. What would I have done differently? I would have just, I don't know, been born rich. just had more money to throw at things.
We wish
you know.
Yeah. Groovy. Emma, your answer.
I originally wanted to do some SFX stuff with the aliens' voices and then decided against it. Figuring out how to do that would have been really fun.
Yeah, glorious. Okay, exciting. Thank you. And question four. How long is a good length for optimum grooviness of a LARP-based audio fiction app?
Well, it's indie, so you can do whatever you want to do. Ours range from about 32 to 46 minutes so far, and I haven't edited the last few, so I don't actually know how long they're going to be.
Excellent. Hashtag do what you want. Love it. Question five. What is your favorite unexpected moment that came out of table reads or recordings?
Okay. Well, this is a feelsy answer, but there were a couple of times where somebody would just like take a moment between two reads of the scene and be like, this really connects to this really personal thing that happened to me. And I'm bringing the emotions from that to this story that like I had no idea, obviously, because I was writing this before casting. And that was just really cool that like we've created an environment where the actors feel comfortable like talking to us about that and bringing that to their performance.
Beautiful.
Really humbling.
Love that. And Rook, same to you.
Oh God, I would have had the same answer because I have a lot of thoughts and feelings and emotions about all that. But instead, I will give a more funny answer, is that there's a lot of weird words in this script. And so there have been so many pronunciation shenanigans. And one of my favorites, I think, is... So the character Alice, her name is spelled A-L-Y-S-S. And there's a bit where she's talking to one of... The character who is Ganonu. You know, there's a bit of a language barrier. And when we were doing this scene in the table read, Steven, who played the character, pronounced Alice as Alice. And before she said her actual line, Naya, who plays Alice, went, "It's Alice," and then goes into the rest of her line. And we were like, "Great, that's wonderful. Please record it that way when you go back and do it by yourself."
Love it. Huzzahs for those moments of improvisation. Very exciting. And bonus question six, which you didn't know about at all. I'm slightly allergic to cats. How can I find a vibe checker like Bruce the Cat to help me enhance my productions? Credited as is on your script transcript notes.
I'm also allergic to cats.
Aw. Well, yeah, Rook has never been in the same room as Bruce, so there's that.
So that'll work.
Yeah, but...
So I can borrow Bruce, maybe. But yeah, what does Bruce do the vibe checking?
Well, so from the sample size of our cast, it turns out lots of voice actors have cats, so I would say that's not actually too difficult of an ask, but... Bonnie has so many pictures of Bruce that they just sent me a ton of pictures of Bruce. And I made sort of a "which Bruce are you today" thing with numbers. And that was how we did our check-ins at the beginning of recording sessions, as people would say, "I'm feeling Bruce 5 today, and here's why." So Bruce was like he did his job. He actually checked our vibes every single recording session. He's put in the work.
That's just glorious.
So, I will say that it came about as a little bit of a joke based on St. Kilda, actually, I think it was.
Oh, yes, toast. Because, yeah.
Because, well, no, because in St. Kilda, in the credits for St. Kilda, I think...
They have a vibe checker.
Naomi is credited...
Of course.
A vibe checker. Yes. And we were like, what is a vibe checker? What does that mean? And we were like talking about that in our own chat. And then I think it was Naya who said, "I think Bruce should be our vibe checker," because Bonnie had so many wonderful pictures of Bruce.
Oh,
and so Bruce became our official vibe checker. And
brilliant.
But yeah. But also in the allergy, I would highly recommend Allegra.
Oh, you brought your own SFX.
It does
there.
Wonders.
That's great. Thank you. I use that.
I have my own bottle of Allegra here. What I have.
Is it legal? Can we get it over the counter? And if not, can you send me some?
it's over the counter. I don't know if they've got it in the. I don't know if they've got it in the UK, but it's a nice non-drowsy antihistamine that works way better than.
Yeah, I've got to say, to not turning this into a medical podcast, but yeah, I've been having some powerful antihistamines of late. I'm living in a more dream world than usual. So there you go, folks. If you need a pussy to approve your vibe of your pussy. Live no start again so what am I saying I don't even know what I'm saying. What should I say? Yes, if you need a pussy to vibe check your show, you know where to go. Find a Bruce of your own and love them and cuddle them until you can no more. So final question for you then, folks, just with regards to launch tips, have you got any amazing superhuman recipes for what folks should do
Yeah, I was thinking about this question, and I was like, I feel like because we went into this with no name recognition, we're sort of just trying our best out here, but the audio drama community is really wonderful. Hooray. So making your way into some, like, creator servers on Discord, getting advice from people, if it's, like, in this, I don't know, in this area, if you don't have fame or money, a lot of things rely on word of mouth and luck, but also hard work and networking pays off. So, like, be kind, help others in the community, and you'll be rewarded because they'll return that in kind. It adds up every time you, like, listen to another show and tweet something at them or give advice to somebody else who's asking. That all adds up.
Brilliant. And Rook?
Yeah, there are a lot of very wonderful people in the audio drama community, and I think I forgot to mention earlier when you were asking about where we sent our casting calls around to, I did also send it into a bunch of different audio drama servers. Shout out to my trans voice actors server. Yep. And, you know, for other shows.
Super.
Yeah, I do want to also say, we mentioned a lot of people on our cast and crew that we knew ahead of time. We also got, like, more than half our cast as people who were internet strangers when we found them. We have found a lot of wonderful people through the audio drama community and the voice acting community, even though this show started from a seed of people who went to college together.
Yeah, that's superb. Well, thank you. Those are all actionable, reasonable things. And if there are any servers and things that you can point folks to and you're like to and able to share, do send me the links and I'll pop those on the show notes if that's okay. brilliant. And how are you going to keep this publicity machine rolling? What are your plans going forward to keep Rogue Maker in people's minds, thoughts and hearts?
Well, we're doing it right now.
Talking to people, doing stuff on audio fiction. Yeah, cool. Yes, of course. This is one way, definitely. Come and talk to me. If you want to talk to me, ping me on quirkyvoices@gmail.com and we'll sort something out if you can find a good hook to talk stuff about.
Sarah's wonderful. Groovy.
Oh, thanks.
Sarah's great. Yeah, we have our own Discord server, which we can send. We can also send you a link to. I mean, you should have a link.
I just joined today. I thought I'm going to jump in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have listening parties for every episode.
That's great.
So that's always really fun. We get to see people's reactions in real time.
It does seem a buoyant, fun place to be, and growing all the time, it seems, which is very exciting. Yeah. And maintaining that is quite hard, isn't it? How are you finding the rolling publicity machine on your time? How are you managing that?
I schedule a lot of tweets to go out and Tumblr posts to go out at certain times when I have the energy to write them. So that's helpful.
Cool. What do you use for that?
Well, Tumblr and Twitter lets you schedule tweets.
Oh, okay.
I make graphics in Canva and then I make the posts as much as possible ahead of time. You know, like when you're uploading a podcast episode, you set it to release at a certain time too. So I can be off doing something else when the episode comes out. So long as we have the transcript link ready. Rook does the transcripts.
Oh, yes, that is another thing that I do. I forgot to mention, I do the transcripts.
It's another hat that you wear, and they're beautiful transcripts.
Amazing.
I'm also just very plugged into the science fiction community in general because I'm a grad student, and science fiction is part of what I research, or is what I research. So every opportunity I get, I am very purposely trying to keep Rogue Maker separate from, like, my thesis.
Okay.
But every opportunity I get that's just like a normal networking opportunity with sci-fi people, I will mention the show.
Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well, I just wish you the best of luck with the forthcoming fantastically exciting season. I've really very much enjoyed the first little knells of it coming out in these first two episodes, which have intrigued and delighted. So yeah, folks listening, if you haven't found it yet, I do think it's worth your while to jump in and enjoy the music, the singing, the characters, the story, the mystery.
Find out why it's called Rogue Maker.
Oh, yes.
And not Road Maker.
Yeah, now,
ooh,
yeah.
Who knows?
Name has a meaning.
There's a meaning in there. We will find out soon enough. So, yeah, hearty thanks to both of you for coming on to NDAF to chat all things audio fiction today. And, I think the onwards and upwards, right? Is there anything, a parting shot of advice from each of you to give to people who want to make stuff? Feel free to share it now. Emma first.
Oh, my gosh. The only thing that's coming to mind is just do it, which is a meme, but... But yeah, if you want to write things, voice act things, get yourself a little blue Yeti, try some silly voices, get yourself a writing group, share them your ideas, talk to your friends. That's your support network. Just do it.
Surround yourself with people who are smart and cool and creative. And going off of what Emma said, there are already people, if you are worried that you will not be good enough, there are already people out there making things who are maybe even successful, who I guarantee are worse than you. And that's a great inspiration to me, I think.
Yes, beautiful.
This is it. Just do what you want to do, how you want to do it. And yeah, I hope you continue to do that and enjoy yourselves. I think what's come out of today is that you very much enjoy each other's company and your voice actors and team, as well as the process of creating. And no matter how hard anything else gets, that's what life's about, isn't it? Enjoying yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yes, long may that continue, you super legends. And yes, onwards to Rogue Maker. And do you reckon there's any mileage in mileage? Do you see what I'm doing there? In Road Maker? Do you reckon it might?
I mean,
no. If,
talk to some civil engineers.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the market for that.
Construction workers.
That's the niche. Yeah,
in line at your local Greggs, ask them if they'd be interested in listening to something on the job. I suspect the noise might be an issue for listening to a podcast on the job, but you know.
But you know, I'm envisioning, you know, whole musical numbers with JCBs and pneumatic drills, you know? Anyway, that aside, thank you and happy rogue making. Take care, both of you. All right, bye bye.
Thanks so much for having us. Bye.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. Whoa.
Hello, hello, hello. Gosh, another NDAF out into the world. And this one, especially chosen by my Twitter followers, which highlighted how exciting the Road Makers was, which helped ping out into the universe another Indie AF, especially for hashtag International Podcast Day today. Yes, it's the 30th of September. How did that happen? A minute ago it was Christmas. I'm also really excited to be part of the driving force behind the Audio Drama Hub Podfest. Yes, it's happening, people. We are getting there. The event is happening on the 19th and 20th of November in High Wycombe, England, at a beautiful venue as part of the Wickham Swan Theatre. Tickets will be available very, very, very soon, so keep it free. We'd love to see you. There's opportunities as well for you to get involved, even if you can't make it. We're looking for sound effects and music and breath-only 60 to 90 seconds audio fiction pieces. How exciting is that? We've already had some, gosh, mind-blowingly stellar entries, so keep them coming in. Send them to dashinglyquirky@gmail.com. We're also looking for those new scripts, 10-minute scripts with live Foley, a walk-on part for audience members, and essentially 2 to 6 characters, and we aim to perform the winner on the 20th of November at the Audio Drama Hub Podfest. We'll also be doing some workshops with the wonderful Tom Crowley, coming to give us a writing for audio fiction practical workshop. Come do stuff, make writing. I will also have the fantastic David Devereaux. Dev is coming to do a edit workshop for us all. I'm so excited to have him down. It was wonderful to have him part of Indie AF live show, which was the first of this very season. And today also marks the launch of The Tower. I was very, very fortunate to have a beautiful role as mummy to the fantastic Kiri character, played by the effervescently brilliant Katrina Allen, with beauteous performances from Mark Gully and the wonderful David Pellow too. So yeah, go hunt that out and enjoy. So go look at the show notes for links to the podcast festival and where you can send your pictures to put your live shows, your competition entries, and just get oriented into what exciting adventures we're going to have. And we really hope to see you there. Ping any questions to quirkyvoices@gmail.com and I'll do my best to help. I'm so excited that the next episode of Indie AF is with the absolutely hugely inspiring Yohani Washington Smith. We talk all things 1972 podcast, and we celebrate some beauteous creatives on the scene. Catch around, enjoy, happy creating, make the thing. Bye.